Good evening. Within God's beautiful word, there's a beautiful little book that may not be read or studied very much. But the Song of Solomon, seeming to be written by Solomon, is a song that describes the love of a man and a woman. And within this song, we have three speakers, really kind of two speakers and a third group. We have the man, we have the woman, and we have a group of women called the Daughters of Jerusalem. And in the fifth chapter of the Song of Solomon, in verse 9, these women ask a question of the woman in the song. We read, they say, "What kind of beloved is your beloved, O most beautiful among women? What kind of beloved is your beloved that you thus adjure us?" The NIV translates this, "How is your beloved better than others, most beautiful of women? How is your beloved better than others that you charge us so?" They ask the question, what is it that makes who you love so special? And what's so beautiful about this book is it's full of the woman giving an answer, and it's full of the man giving an answer to this question as well. It would be so different if she would have said, "I don't know." Sure wouldn't convince those that ask, but also if her answer was that, I'm not sure that she's convinced herself that he is special to her. And if something is not special, or if we don't believe that it's special, or if we don't think that it's special, we're a lot more likely to leave it, or to let it go, or to abandon it. And I feel like that shows very plainly in a lot of the shaky relationships that we see today, the divorces, the ruined marriages. This is a very important question that we should be able to answer about our spouses. Why are they special to us? Because they are. They are the person that the Lord Himself has united us with, and He expects us to stay united with them. But I feel like we can also expand this question, and we can expand the application of it a little bit wider as well. We live in a world that's very much like a tricky salesman. The world says that infidelity, that perversion, that giving in to the greatest desires that we have is the good things of life. And is advertised it so that these are the greatest, that this is the greatest kind of life. And as the salesman of the world, it has no compunctions, the dirty tricks, it lies to us that this is what life is meant to be. And obviously we know that that's not right, and we say, no, that's not true. A life for God is the greatest, but then comes the question, okay, well, what makes it so special? Are we able to answer that? Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." The world is very opinionated, right? Ready to give an account of their opinion of what life should be. Are we ready to give an account of what makes life for God better? What makes it special? Well, what was the woman's answer in the Song of Solomon? Again, I mentioned that the book is full of an answer, but I want to stay within this chapter in verse 10. She says, "My beloved is dazzling and ruddy, outstanding among 10,000. His head is like gold, pure gold. His locks are like clusters of dates and black as raven. His eyes are like doves beside streams of water, bathed in milk and repose in their setting. His cheeks are like a bed of balsam, banks of sweet-colored scented herbs. His lips are lilies dripping with liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His abdomen is carved ivory and laid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of alabaster set on pedestals of pure gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as the cedars. His mouth is full of sweetness, and he is wholly desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem." Now, I realize not everything conforms to this, but I kind of see a little bit of a pattern of why things have a special value to us, or at least why we see things as having value or being desirable. I think back to Eve in the garden. She saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. It looks special, delight to the eyes, is enjoyable, good for food, beneficial, right? Desirable to make one wise. Now, obviously, we can't use this as judgment for what things are good or not. This turned out pretty bad for Eve. But I just want to point out the pattern, because I kind of see that pattern in the answer of this woman here in the Song of Solomon. She definitely says a few things about looks, as we notice. She says, dazzling and ruddy among many things. Looks are no small thing with us humans. And obviously that's not always a good thing. There are countless of powerful men that have fallen because of a beautiful woman, countless young people that act pretty recklessly just because of the looks of a young boy or a young girl. Looks are no small thing to us. And as we read through this passage, it sort of seems like this is a pretty good-looking dude. And she uses all that is beautiful in nature to describe him. But we also know that looks can be deceiving. You know, just because something looks good or someone looks good doesn't mean that they are. And really, I think a lot of the world's best faces hide maybe some of the worst hearts that there are. But I think that this woman also points out that he doesn't just look pleasant, but that he is. She says that he is wholly desirable. And as if we were to look through the entirety of the book of the Song of Solomon, we would see that he does seem to have the same love, care, compassion, devotion to her as she has to him. Not only does he look special, but he's enjoyable. Is he beneficial? I don't know that he would be for you and I, but I want to highlight something that she ends with. She says, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend." Whether or not he is beneficial to anybody else, or whether or not he means anything to anybody else, he means something to her. I think this is a big deal. It is not just that this man looks good to anybody. He is handsome to her. It's not just that he is pleasant for anybody. He is pleasant to her. It's not just that he means something. He means something to her. This is her beloved. This is her friend. He is special to her. Now, as good as any man may look, as good as any woman may look, or anything in nature, as good as anything in this life may look, there is absolutely nothing that looks better than a life for Christ. When we go through God's Word, Paul talks about those who live the opposite in Romans 2 and verse 8. For those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey righteousness, there's wrath and indignation. But he says before this in verse 7, to those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. I don't know about you, but eternal life looks pretty good to me. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." I don't know about you, but heaven looks pretty good. Hope looks pretty good. Mercy looks pretty good. Romans 8 and verse 31, Paul says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" The power of God looks pretty good. The faithfulness of God looks pretty good. Our God looks awesome. The thing about human looks is they fade away, and they do so pretty quickly. This man who is described here in the Song of Solomon, he probably didn't look the same way after 10 years. But the wonderful thing is that the beauty of God and the promises that he makes never fades away. The grass withers, the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And yet, could it be that these are just surface words? That a life for God looks good, but if you actually get into it, it's really not as good as it sounds. Paul testifies in Philippians 4 and verse 11, "Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." The testimony from Paul is that a life for God is a life that gives contentment. And Paul had a lot more reason to be discontent in this life than a lot of other people do. David testifies in Psalm 16 and verse 5, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely." The testimony that we have from David is that a life for God is a life that is valuable. And David, as a king of a very great kingdom at the time, had a lot of valuable things to compare it to. But a life for God is the one that has value. A life for God is one that bears fruit of joy, peace, love. A life for God is a life that is filled with hope and a hope that doesn't disappoint. We see that the Bible is full of men and women who live for God, and they were never disappointed with their life. We have plenty of evidence that is given to us that it's not just that the water of life that comes through Jesus Christ looks good, but if anybody tastes of the water, they will see that it's sweet. So what about you? That's why hope is special. But why is the hope within you special? How often have I gazed at the beauty of God's promises and thought about what it meant for me? How often have I had dark times where hope in the Lord is the only light that I have? You know, what makes hope for me? Personally, I think about all of the things that God promises. I think it's pretty neat for a perfect body, but I think it's even neater for a perfect mind. I look forward to the day where I will have a mind that is devoid of fear, that is devoid of self preoccupation, and I will finally be able to give my God the perfect devotion that He deserves. I look forward to that. From a much smaller reason, still important to me though, I have a grandfather that I haven't met. Sure would like to. I have a grandfather that meant a lot to me. I sure would like to see him again. Hope means a lot of things to me. What does it mean to you? When something has value to us, not just generally valuable, but when something has value to us and means something to us, it has a better chance of causing others to look at us and the sparkle that it gives us in our eyes and wonder if they should value it too. But also it keeps us holding on to something that truthfully we never, ever want to let go of. There are no underhanded tricks needed. The truth of God is better than the life that the world offers. The hope of God is better. It is greater than one in a thousand. It is so wonderful. And I realized that in the first century that God's truth of what is better was accompanied by miracles, and really it still is, but we are the miracles. We are the water to wine. We are the ones who have been changed. We are the ones who have been healed. We are the ones who have life from death. This has not just happened to anyone. This is, if we are God's children, this has happened to us. We can answer with confidence, can answer with confidence, and should. Our life is the best life. Unless we're not living it for God yet. And if you would still like to see, or if you would like to see tonight, what a life for God can mean for you. Tonight is the night to begin seeing what a wonderful life it truly is. Please come forward, be baptized in our Lord while we stand and as we sing.